Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 53 degrees in fog and mist. Today's Wednesday, June 19th, 2013. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Coast Guard is searching the waters near Hoonah for a crewman who went overboard from the fishing vessel Swift late Monday night. The 34-foot boat is reportedly based in Juneau, but state records show it registered to a Sitka captain. The Coast Guard received a call for help shortly after midnight Tuesday morning. The 57-foot Pacific Horizon discovered the Swift in Icy Strait. Crew members found no one aboard and notified Coast Guard Sector Juneau. The Coast Guard reported the Swift's position at about 40 miles west of Juneau. KTOO reports that the vessel's deckhand went overboard and the skipper pursued him in a dinghy. A helicopter crew from Coast Guard Air Station Sitka found the boat's captain suffering from mild hypothermia on a beach near his overturned skiff. The vessel is registered to Tim Lane of Sitka, who is listed in stable condition Tuesday at Bartlett Regional Hospital. The deckhand remains missing. A Sitka Coast Guard helicopter, as well as a response boat from Juneau and the Coast Guard cutter Liberty, are aiding in the search. The Civil Air Patrol joined search and rescue efforts Tuesday morning. The search is concentrated 1 mile south of Porpoise Island, which is near the mouth of Excursion Inlet. The missing crewman, whose name was not released, was reportedly wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt and black rain pants. National Weather Service meteorologist Jerry Swanson says at the time the Coast Guard received the call for help, Icy Strait was experiencing 15 to 20 knot winds under cloudy skies. But earlier in the evening, the region experienced a series of moderate thunderstorms, including winds up to 37 knots. The National Weather Service issued storm warnings to mariners throughout the evening, urging them to find safe harbor. We will continue to update this story as it develops. Hummingbirds made their way back to Sitka on schedule this spring, but this year, for the first time, they've also been followed by a hummingbird bander. Fred Bassett is a master bander from Alabama who spent 3 days in Sitka last week capturing and banding 153 hummingbirds, most out at Medvege Hatchery in Silver Bay. Bassett has been studying hummingbirds for 20 years. He has an individual permit from the federal government to capture the birds, and his work is already changing our understanding of Alaska's most common species, the rufous hummingbird. The rufous is one of a number of so-called western hummingbirds who are thought to winter exclusively in the western half of North America. Bassett, however, has banded many rufous in his home state of Alabama and in Florida, over 2,000 in the past two decades. He told KCAW's Matt Goff, host of the Sitka Nature Show, that he doesn't think western hummers made the move back east just recently.
As far as I'm concerned, they've been doing it for a long, long time. People didn't know about it because up until people like me came along and start doing winter banding, everyone was told they have to take down their feeders by a certain date. They were good soldiers, so they took their feeders down. And then if they did happen to see a hummingbird at a flower or anything and they reported it to Fish and Game or Audubon or something, they were told, I know you thought you saw a hummingbird, but there's no hummingbird during the winter. That was a moth. I came along and started giving talks about leaving feeders out, and not only do I believe you have a hummingbird, I'll come to your house and catch it. Amazingly enough, western hummingbirds started to show up.
This is Bassett's first visit to Alaska and his first attempt to personally confirm that Alaskan rufous hummingbirds cross the continent, both north to south and west to east. Although doing basic research in Alaska is gratifying, Bassett wouldn't mind recapturing one of the birds he's already banded in Florida.
The real reason I'm here is the world's record between a banding and a recapture was one of my rufous 3 years ago that a sub-bander who works for me in Tallahassee, Florida, banded at a yard in Tallahassee in January. And in June of that year, that bird was recaptured in Chininga Bay, which is an island right off Valdez. That's 3,600 miles away. And the last two winters down on Alabama's Gulf Coast, I've caught the same female rufous, and that bird was banded in northwest British Columbia. And they don't nest there. So that bird was coming out of Alaska, cutting across, headed into the southeast. And I was giving a talk just like this on public radio telling a lady that they're coming out of Alaska, but they're not getting caught on the end because there are no hummingbird banders. And she said, won't you go up and find out? Here I am.
Bassett says hummingbirds are tougher than most people give them credit for. He catches them using a feeder in a trap, and they don't suffer any harm in handling. The bands themselves are tiny and go around one leg. In fact, he says a captured hummer can be tough as nails and mean as snakes. You can see photos of Fred Bassett in action. Listen to his complete interview with Matt Goff on The Nature Show and hear what an angry hummingbird sounds like at our website, kcaw.org. State ferry service between Juneau and Gustavus is in its third season. While most Gustavus residents are happy with the additional transportation options provided by the Alaska Marine Highway System, others aren't sure the change is good for the small community. KTOO's Lisa Fu recently made the trip and filed this report.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The Lakani will be arriving at our Gustavus terminal in about 5 minutes.
The first ferry between Juneau and Gustavus sailed on November 23, 2010.
I waited pretty much most of my life and just thought it was a dream that would never, ever happen.
Sylvia Peterson has spent her whole life in Gustavus, a town with a year-round population of 450. She's also spent most of her life in fear of flying, which used to be the only way to get to and from Gustavus. So whenever Peterson left home, she had to take anxiety pills.
There was no other option. So, I mean, I did it because you have to, but I never liked it, and all the pilots would humor me and say, it's a Sylvia day or not.
Now Peterson doesn't let 6 weeks pass by without traveling to Juneau by ferry. She goes for medical purposes and visits her mother in the Juneau Pioneer Home. On this particular journey, Peterson went with her mother to the senior ball, something Peterson would have never considered if it meant flying. Gustavus residents Leslie Sirstad and Betty Markey are also traveling back home from Juneau.
I'm working on family record kinds of things, so I got some scrapbook things. That was the real reason why I went in.
That's Sirstad. Markey's trip was for a similar purpose.
I went in to get supplies and just to look around.
Markey went to Costco and Fred Meyer, which are common stops for Gustavus residents who want to fill their vehicles, an option now possible because of the ferry. Sirstad and Markey also go to Juneau to take a break.
To change the scenery, make home look better.
And to get to go to a restaurant, a different restaurant, different foods, because you're limited in Gustavus.
By choice.
Mm-hmm. We're not complaining. We're happy the way it is.
Barb Miranda Bruno is also happy with the way it is. In fact, she may have liked Gustavus better before the ferry. Bruno is co-owner of Sunnyside Market, a health food store and cafe that opened in 2007 and is geared toward locals. While the ferry does bring more people to her business, Bruno says inaccessibility is a key reason residents live in Gustavus. She calls herself a fence-sitter regarding the ferry.
It's just busier. It just changes the way Gustavus was. And if you talk to the old-timers, I mean, before the road was paved, that was a big deal. Before electricity, that was a big deal. And now we have the ferry, so there's these incremental changes that slowly have Gustavus become a little bit more like other places. And I think a lot of us chose to live here because it was different.
Toshua Parker comes from a homesteading family in Gustavus. He's the owner of Toshco,
which is a grocery and lumber and hardware and clothing and marine and everything else store.
It's no coincidence that his store has been around for as many years as the Alaska Marine Highway has been going to Gustavus. Parker says he started his business because of the ferry.
Without the ferry, there would be really no way for us to get these materials out here economically enough that we could pass the savings on to the customers and really hit the price point that we need to hit to make this work. At this point, I don't know how we'd survive without it. It's really been a godsend for us out here.
An example of those savings? The price of a gallon of milk is $5.99. Parker says it was double that before his store opened. Toshco and Sunnyside Market are the only grocery stores in town. Gustavus is the gateway to Glacier Bay National Park, so residents are used to seeing tourists. But Kelly McLaughlin, owner of Fireweed Gallery and Coffee Shop, says the ferry has changed the type of people who come to Gustavus.
We see a lot more independent travelers that aren't looking to spend a lot of money that just want to come see Gustavus. So there's a higher traffic, but maybe not as much money spent.
The ferry is also bringing in more vehicles.
The traffic is a little bit difficult sometimes because we're not used to quite so many cars. People haven't quite figured out how to deal with all that, but it's coming.
Peterson is confident Gustavus residents will bend with the changes. They'll need to. In October, the Alaska Marine Highway plans twice weekly trips between Gustavus and Juneau year-round. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski's version of the Sea Alaska Lands Bill has passed out of its only committee. That's a major step toward a Senate floor vote. But there's no guarantee it will move any farther in Congress. Its best chance is as part of a package of lands legislation. Murkowski told the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee on Tuesday that it's the result of years of negotiation.
And I recognize that it has created tensions within our communities, but we have worked aggressively and tirelessly with all of the stakeholders, not just Sea Alaska and their shareholders.
The bill is co-sponsored by Alaska Senator Mark Begich. A similar measure by Alaska Representative Don Young passed out of the House Natural Resources Committee last week. The Southeast Alaska Conservation Council has endorsed the legislation as a reasonable compromise, but other critics, including environmental, sportsmen's, and small community groups, continue to oppose the bill. They say Sea Alaska wants to trade marginal acreage it can already claim for the most valuable timberlands in the Tongass National Forest. Andy Burgess is Rainforest Program Director for the Alaska Wilderness League. Her group is particularly concerned about an area on the south end of Prince of Wales Island.
One of the most productive salmon streams in the Tongass is in Keet Inlet. It's an area identified by Audubon and Trout Unlimited scientists as being one of the most high-value watersheds for salmon and trout production.
The bill would allow the Regional Native Corporation to choose about 68,000 acres of timberlands from the Tongass National Forest. Around another 1,600 acres would be transferred for renewable energy and ecotourism development or preservationist cemetery and historic sites. The total, a little more than 70,000 acres, is less than the 85,000 acres Sea Alaska has said it's entitled to. So in weather forecast today, for Sitka and Port Alexander, calls for mostly cloudy skies, areas of low clouds and fog in the morning, isolated showers, and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 61, northwest winds 10 miles per hour. You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Thanks for joining me. Have a good morning.